Blog Talk Radio.
So,
are you talking or am I talking? There you are.
Well, you want to launch into a little trivia before I launch into who we are and what we're doing?
I can do that. That is How Do I Live? And that was the version by Trisha Yearwood, which was in the movie Con Air. But most people are more familiar with the version sang by LeAnn Rimes, because that's the version that was all over Billboard for record-breaking weeks on end and records that held for 20 years. What's funny is they had originally, contracted LeAnn Rimes to sing the song for the movie, but she was real young at the time. They're like, yeah, nah, we need somebody who sounds like she's, you know, been through the trenches as far as her heart goes. And so they went with Trisha Yearwood, but Leanne had already recorded it. So on this same day, May 23rd in 1997, they both released their version of the song. So that doesn't really happen a whole lot nowadays. So there you have it. A little bit of trivia on How Do I Live.
My friend Pretty Bird, and we are Team of Voices here on Blog Talk Radio. Coming to you from boldpoetry.com. And what can I say? Come check us out. Where it's join. I'm your host, Raconteur, and this is a little slice of the podcast world, I guess you could call it, off the rack. And I'm flying blind because, you know, I'm kind of dependent on some people and some things and some help, and not being able to breathe is a familiar malady, I suspect, for some people. Not being able to see is another one. So that's my life, and I don't know. It drives me a little crazy sometimes, so I'm here to share. Let me bring Sweet on the air. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm blind.
Blind,
I'm
one can't breathe and all that.
Oh, at least between us, we can probably feel our way around something. I don't know.
If we start doing that, we're changing this show to Sunday night.
I'm just saying. The idea for tonight, since you brought it up, I don't know. Prompts kind of hit me a funny way sometimes. I won't say I'm selective about what I write for because, you know, I literally don't see too much. So I don't poke around enough to get out there and see what's out there. But one of the ideas, and I don't know if it started originally as a prompt or, you know, I kind of turned it into a prompt. I know someone has a little collection of books and things, well, not books, poems, that are 10 words, my life in 10 words. So I kind of stole that idea and came up with the thought for tonight, which is, you know, my heart may be broken still, it beats for you. So that's what's driving me crazy, because you could take that in a couple of different ways, I think, from obsession to just, you know, heartbroken, lovelorn. You know, people could still be together, and you know, that could still be the thought, you know, or, you know, just starting out even. I don't know, there's different stages in relationships when I guess people realize that the depth of baggage and brokenness. So, which doesn't necessarily play a role, I don't think, in the emotion. But, you know, some people do end up getting judged for that. So there's that. So I'll probably be all over the place tonight. But we'll see where we wind up. we've got a few rights. I don't know which direction we want to start with, but you know what? Since it's just the three of us, do me a favor, Pretty Bird, and read the poem I did for Sweet, which I think she heard, but I wanted to hear it again.
I can do that. One second.
Because I have a captive audience, full advantage.
And it is up on the board. And this is Sweet Life by Raconteur. Let me put on my glasses because I can't see crap. Okay. Now, this is Sweet Life by Raconteur. Underneath a waning moon pinned to a silken sky, a pretty bird calls the morning sun, announcing daybreak is nigh. Cobalt crayons conjure captivating characters created from the mind of the girl with cinnamon hair. In her world, the Wizard of Oz often spoke backwards, and her beloved Hatter turned up everywhere. One by one, her playmates fall with frightening efficiency. They meet their demise. If you judge this book by its cover, you're in for a wicked surprise. She's an incredibly strong woman, trying not to drown in the tears that she cries, painting a smile on her face, concealing the pain she carries inside. Watching her suffer in silence as life takes its toll, I can't help but admire the profound beauty of her naked soul. End poem.
So you both already commented on it probably, so we can keep going.
You know, I will not keep going just because I've read it more than once, and I do love this. And I don't know why I've read this like 3 times, and yet it's not even in my list. I don't even know how I do that, but I know where it is. So let me finally put it in my rack and tour list, which it is now in. I love this. And, you know, I want to, everybody that has something to say on this, I want to write them back and go, yes, it's beautiful, and leave it alone, it's mine. You don't get to say anything. but that's just me. And I want to thank you again.
Well, that wasn't why I wanted to do that. I just wanted to put you on the spot, kind of choke you up a little bit, because I'm that kind of a prick.
You did, and that's the whole, oh, okay, you prick. Don't do this shit to me. No, I love this. She's an incredibly strong woman trying not to drown in the tears she's cried, paint a smile on her face, and consuming the pain she's carried inside, which, believe it or not, is a lot about what my poem is about tonight. So it's interesting that it weaves a lot into what I talk about. So it's very interesting.
You know, I kind of want to say, too, you know, the idea behind it is just, you know, any two people, you know, I don't know why it usually works out that way, or maybe that's just, you know, the ones that we wind up hearing about, you know. It's like this one was, you know, antisocial or broken or however you want to put it, and fell in love with this other one, and it turned into either some weird obsession or some crazy love thing. But, you know, where it winds up from there is usually, you know, the stuff of movies and drama and stuff like that. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to work out that way or even, you know, be so ominous. It's just one of those things that, you know, it doesn't matter who you are or what goes on. You don't always know what's going on right around you sometimes. And, you know, you see it and you watch it and, I don't know, you kind of live it. So there's that.
Are you telling me I bitch and whine too much and I need to shut up? I'm not quite sure which way to take this phone sometimes.
Wine? I take some wine. Who has wine?
I want to take some. Who has wine?
Put it in your glasses. That's why you went to get them, right?
This is true.
That's right.
You know, it's funny because even with this one that starts out all lighthearted and you know, spreading the love to all these little like tokens of affection to many of us, it then gets into this very personal, very I see you kind of poem that kind of gets you. Which you do quite often, dear man, with your quips and your funniness, and then you just, you know, everybody lets down their guard just long enough for you to pierce them in the heart. So, yeah, I can call you a prick.
Well, roses have pricks, so it was Valentine's Day, so I'm just doing my part.
That's right.
We got a couple of poems that need readers, and I don't know if you're able to stay all night, sweet, but I would like you to read the first person that dropped because the prompt wasn't up very long, and I do like to, you know, pay attention to the people that do respect the attempt at scheduling. I'm sorry?
Oh, crap, I haven't even put my poem in your room. I'm sorry. I have a poem
that's
I haven't right. put in your room because I obviously respect nothing. Oh, I'm horrible. I'm sorry, sir. I did write to you.
Yes. Okay. And more importantly, you're sharing time. So, you know, I'd like to say that up front to everybody because, you know, I've just gotten worse. So lately I haven't been able to leave the written comments that I feel would be polite to do. So, you know, I apologize in advance for not doing that for everyone that's written for the show and, you know, taking the time to participate in whatever way possible. You know, it is very much appreciated, even if I don't do that courtesy. But hopefully other people, you know, will see the stuff on the topic board, and if they're touched, they will leave some love on those poems and let the people that wrote know that they did appreciate the share. But what I was leading up to, if you don't mind, the first person that dropped, I think, was Allie Sunshine. So I want to get her read.
All right. Flying Wide by Allie Sunshine 3. Mom, Dad, people who won't accept me. My heart is broken. Hold on. I thought parents and people were supposed to love or at least be kind and caring to children. Mom, you said you had no hope for me. Teens and others, you told me that I needed therapy. So I'm here, proving all of you who ever doubted me wrong. I have a caring family now. I'm still getting used to love and asking for hugs, but it's so much better. I have amazing poems on my page here. Oh, and also I have a group, a team of voices who loves me. They also teach me to love myself and how to ask for hugs and other stuff I may need, even a listening ear and a shoulder to cry on. They love my poems. Also, to all the people who do not accept me, it hurts, but it's okay. I have a team of voices and the most stunning second family in both ways ever. Mom, Dad, and Matt, I'm sorry you won't see me graduate. To all the people who doubted me, I'm sorry you guys didn't see my talent. To all the people who messed up my life, I still like you all, minus two people. But no matter who you are, if you're in my past, you broke my heart somehow. End quote.
Wow. It's a very emotional piece. I could say personally, I know growing up, a lot of, I won't say my success, but my personality came from proving things to people or wanting to prove things to people. And the way my situation developed, I could also say that, you know, there are things that people won't see or they won't tell you that they see them, rather. But they even if they don't say it, they still see them. So, you know, that approval that you're looking for sometimes may be there, even if it's not spoken out loud. You know, some people just don't get the chance all the time to run around and you know, pay that attention that you're talking about. The interpersonal relationships and things like that develop differently. So as far as the poem goes, you know, it's a wonderful share of your emotions and expression of, you know, what little corner of your life is like. And thank you for sharing, Allie. Sweet. You read it. What'd you think?
I think it's a brave write. I think that when you're very young, it's hard to be that brave and to say those things, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, it's good that she is that brave. And, you know, Allie, always be kind to yourself and have a forgiving heart. It's easier to do that when you're young. And when you get old like me, you get resentful and mean. So don't get that way. Be kind and always have that loving heart. And always try to be that way.
And I just want to turn, not to interrupt you, sweet, but I have to kind of point out to the way culture and society has developed now. Little girls asking for hugs are not received very well in this world these days.
Right.
It's tough, and don't take it personally because, you know, some people just don't understand.
Right.
They don't know how to hit it, and then worse than that, some people are actually, you know, devious about it and have other ulterior motives. So you got to be a little selective when it comes to that wanting of outpouring of human
right.
contact.
Right.
Pretty Bird, did you want to say a quick word before we move on?
Sure. Yeah, I tend to be a what they call or what they dub a confessional poet myself, whereas you're basically having a conversation with someone and kind of pouring it out there. It just reads like a journal entry, like if I could write the letter, if I could have the conversation, this is what I would say. And Through This Right is a very brave piece. It's not easy to believe in yourself when everybody else, you know, is telling you you're less than. It's hard to believe that you're more than. It's hard to believe that you're, you know, average, that you're, you know, whatever it is that's more than they make you feel. It's a hard place to be. That doesn't change, ever. That's like always, there will always be people that hate, and there are always people that love, and it's often unexpected on both counts. So believing in yourself is a very, you need that strong foundation just to traverse the world at large. I have to say, as far as being selective, I chuckled right there with you at the end where I still like and love you all, minus two people, you know, because you got to be somewhat discerning. You know, I'm all for forgiveness, but I'm not over your shit yet, so you have to wait a while for yours. And so I really appreciated that because, you know, it takes a lot to know when you have reached those moments where you can say, you know, you did what you did, but I'm not worse for it. I am still me. I still hold value. But you know, forgiveness comes in time, and sometimes that time never comes. So more power to you. Because I'm all like, you know, F me, F you. Because again, I'm old and bitter like sweet pea, so we're good.
Oh, God. Yeah, you know, so I almost want to say without that minus two, it would almost feel like pandering. You know, some people just write about a subject, or, you know, they latch on to something and they go off the deep end. But, you know, that kept it real for me. I really appreciate it. But anyway, let's see. Where do you want to go? Do you want to play Phil? Launch right into things, or did
I can play Phil, whatever you want. I wanted to say, being as verbose as I am, with what you had mentioned, 10-word poems, I have a, I hated them, but because I am so verbose, I took it as a challenge to see if I can make something profound in 10 words. And it was something that I did to kind of spew things out. And I have a great appreciation for micro poetry, especially for 10-word poetry, because, you know, a sentence of 10 words is not a poem. You have to make somebody feel something, think something, see something in those 10 words, and it is not easy. And so I have a great affinity for them. Because when they are done well, they kick you in the gut, or they squeeze your heart a little bit, or they give you a warm hug when you least expect it. And otherwise, they're just words, because it's not easy to put emotion into 10 words and have it stand alone. So I love that concept. And so since you had mentioned that, I figured I would mention that too. But I did put Phil on the board. So whenever you're ready, let me know.
You buckled in, sweet?
Yes, I am.
Here we go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called I Should Have Loved You More. I should have loved you more than just a whimsical love story. I should have cared for you more than I have cared for anyone else. I drowned our love in the petals of a dozen red roses, holding you under until you cannot breathe, suffocating you with love. I killed the love we once knew. Think it was better that way. Now I realize that I was wrong. In hindsight, I'm always wise. I treated you as a fool, only to find that I was the fool all along. It's only when someone is gone that you really understand that you need them the most. Here I am, sitting alone, the loser in this game, searching my soul to find out what went wrong. The answer is always the same, as I see a distorted image in the mirror, wishing that I could have loved you more, wishing that I never let you slip away like sand that runs through my fingers, grasping at something that was never meant to be. End poem.
Damn, Phil. I love you're right. Sometimes, I mean, the way that you express yourself, the idea of that love, smothering someone, and yet you're still saying you wish you loved them more. You know, I almost want to, you know, yell at you and say, you mean differently. But, you know, I'm not going to tell you how to write your poetry. I get the intention of what you're saying, though, the way that you wrote it. It's just heartbreaking in a lot of ways. You know, that smothering, that pushing someone away, that doesn't really... Yeah, and then you're left to wonder, you know, what did I do? It's a hollow feeling. Again, the word choices in the poem itself, you know, lovely, lovely piece. Sweet, what'd you think?
I think it's kind of brilliant. You know, sometimes they still killing with kindness, but killing with control. I killed the love we once knew. Think it was the better way. Now I realize it was wrong. In hindsight, I'm always wise. You know, sometimes you love so hard, you don't know you're loving that hard. And, you know, I like suffocating you with love. Just you think you're always doing what's right. And sometimes you love so hard, you choke somebody with that love. And, I really like that. I like whimsical more than just a whimsical love story. I think that's a great line.
Yeah. There's, I think, a duality to loving someone like that because, you know, in the end, you know, when they go away, it feels like, you know, what you did, you know, they're telling you you never loved me or you didn't love me or, you know, something was wrong with how you loved me. And, you know, at the same time, you're sitting there and you love them the only way you really knew how. And it's such a vicious cycle sometimes. It really feels crazy. Anyway, I'm screwing things up, I think, with that. Sorry. Bird, what'd you think?
So I'm going to be the cynic. And first of all, filthy, 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 filthy. You had me by this title. I refused to read it when I was loading it up because I should have loved you more. I had like a plethora of possibilities, all these different roads it could traverse that I wanted to be surprised, and surprised I was. So the way I took this, because again, I'm a cynic, and these first two verses is a lot of people grow up watching these love stories and Valentine's Day nonsense and yada yada blah blah blah. Here's some candy, here's some flowers, here's some candy, here's some stuff. Here's all the things that I ticked off the boxes of things I should do. And so when you say I should have loved you more than just a whimsical love story, more than I have cared for, I should have loved you more than I care for anybody else. And it's not that there was no caring there. It's that here's all the things that I'm supposed to do, and nobody ever seems to have taught this person that the most important thing to do is to be present in the moments that you share, to be there. And it's the little things. It's those moments where if you get up to get something out of the fridge and you're going to go to the kitchen, hey, you want anything? You know, while I'm up, all those little thoughtful things mean more than, you know, the most expensive flowers. because flowers die anyway. I don't care how pretty they are. Just be there, damn it. Let me count on you for a minute, you know? And so this, I killed the love we once knew, thinking it was better that way, because how much can you give someone? How much of all this superficial stuff that feels like love when you've got that affection, you've got all the things, you're doing all the things, but you're missing the whole foundation, you know? Thinking, well, it's, you know, better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. I treated you as a fool only to find that I was a fool all along, because for all the depth you didn't think you reached, you were there, and you didn't realize that until she wasn't. And that's a hard place to be, to know that whatever it is you did or didn't do or refused to do or however stubborn you were to not give in or whatever the situation is, when you feel just a tiny pang of guilt, it is the reason everything broke. Nobody can change your mind even if you're wrong, because that's what it feels like. And, you know, love is a very irrational emotion. All emotions are irrational by divine, but love is its own paradox. And so I kind of love this. I love this notion of romance that is kind of lays on top of the deeper emotion that wasn't fully realized until the absence. And that's what that looked like to me. So I really appreciated that journey.
Beautiful comment. All righty. That's lovely for on air, huh?
That's a little phlegm amongst friends.
I don't know if Phil is Flemish. Anyway, bad joke. Sorry, Phil. No disrespect. How many more drops do we have? I guess
we have Kimberly Baker, we have Deb, we have Sinister, and we have the three of us.
Did Kimberly say she needed a reader? I don't think she's going to call.
Yes. She said she'll do her best
okay.
to call in, so you might want to read her later.
Okay, and Deb's probably going to call. So, what kind of mood you in, sweet?
I'm in a good mood.
I'm going to be greedy tonight. Play, flip a coin and play one of my other two before we let Sweet read.
One or two, Sweet? One or two?
Let's go with two.
All right. Two it is. Oh, crap. Did I put this that I did, right? I can never remember anything.
It's
horrible. I think I did, too. I was on the phone with you. So I'm assuming I did. We'll find out in a second.
Yes, I did,
because I'm on top of my shit. And it sorry, PG-13. Well, we used to say that in PG-13. It's the F-bomb we have a problem
with. Yeah,
okay.
Good. You're okay.
So,
you just can't put it in
PG. There you go. So here you go, Rack. This is Cold.
Cold by Raconteur. I would cry that you might dance in the rain. I would die before causing you any pain. My heart breathes a heavy sigh and tries to beat in vain. My mind yearns to understand why I keep getting up to try again. I feel a fool and a fraud for thinking I could find love, a charming contradiction so easily disposed of. My voice silenced. In shadows, my happiness I feign. No one shall ever know me again. End poem.
So out of that whole piece, Rack, what do you think my favorite word is?
It's certainly not again.
No.
I'm a little mad at myself that I did that, but it got through the censors, so... Let's see. Fool and a fraud. No. Towards the beginning, I don't even remember my own words.
Well, I'll tell you, you don't have to suffer. It's Fain. I love Fain. Fain is a beautiful, it's just a beautiful word. It's got just enough quirkiness in its spelling to not be quite obnoxious. And it's got a lovely meaning and an old world feel to it. Because, you know, there's such a difference between saying, you know, I'm faking it, you know. It's just so elegant, you know, but you break my heart. You break my heart. You break my heart. I feel a fool and a fraud for thinking I could find love. A charming contradiction. I love that. A charming contradiction.
That's what I thought it was.
It's a lovely turn of phrase. But then to pair that with so easily disposed of, again, breaks your heart, breaks my heart. It weighs very, very heavy. And my voice silenced, and being, again, that I am verbose, and me who cannot breathe talks until I literally have no air and still keep on talking, even though I'm like, it's everybody's like, just breathe. I'm like, I'm breathing. Just let me talk. Shut up. And
reverse. Take a suck, and then talk. Go. And then talk. Suck and blow. Suck and blow.
Okay.
It ain't Sunday, you know. And so my voice finally is, you know, touching me in a very profound way. And y'all are killing me. And
take
and
a blow.
So again,
take a talk. Go on. You can do it. Now talk.
Well,
hey, I have to learn this
for 2 years. It's a matter of ability, my dear. And they're gonna like hang up on us.
We're talking about oxygen mask. Oxygen,
yes,
people, oxygen.
And I've got it up my nose. I've got it up my nose. I'm wearing it. I'm good, you know, because
okay,
you know, girl has got to breathe.
Yes, the girl
so,
has
so
to breathe.
So my voice, silence. It grabs me because that is, it's, you know, it's steeped in profundity for somebody who talks for damn much. When even when you're speaking, it's unheard, and it's like you are in this invisible, voiceless shield, screaming at people that just washes all over them, and it's a hard thing to feel, you know. And in shadows, my happiness I feign, and we've all been there, you know. There are two main factions, a bunch of intermediate factions, the two main factions of society or people or whatever that I have found in my own experience. One is I'm sad and I'm going to tell you all my sadness. And then there are those of us who don't want to burden people with our shit. And it's a lonely place to be. And sometimes I think that there's a happy medium in between those two, depending on your relationship with whoever you're talking to. But I am very much a self-isolator, don't want to burden anybody. It's not important enough. I'm perfectly fine in my pain, only pain is never fine. And so the ending of this weighs on me in a very personal way, in that no one will ever know me again. Because every time you are broken, the light, and you're just buried in darkness, the light never shines quite as bright. And how many times can you be broken before the darkness just wins? And so it's a place I'm very painfully familiar with, and a place that I don't ever wish on anybody. So, you know, thanks again for the Hurt Locker. Much appreciated, my friend. And Sleepy, what are your thoughts? I'm sorry for all the noise. I've got old lady glasses with beads, and it's clicking the microphone on my headset, so I have to take that off.
Okay. Oh, the beads are for Sunday.
After creep. After Pretty Spurt's discussion, I would like to tell you I did enjoy your pronouns, I and my, and yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, for both.
I think she took every other word there, so excellent.
Oh my goodness, so that's why I always pick up the tail end of things. because Girlie doesn't shut up. I know how I am. It's okay.
No, it's you did perfect. I felt everything you said. There's nothing else to say. Literally, it's the Hurt Locker. And that last line. I mean, what do you say after? No one will ever know me again. It literally puts a physical pain on you. It does. It just puts a physical pain in your heart. My yearns to understand why I keep trying to get up again. So easily disposed of. No one will ever know me again. It's just, I feel it. I walk it. I talk it. I feel it. I just so easily disposed of. I could just have a tattoo of that on my back.
For all we know, you do.
I probably do. I'm just not aware of it. Somebody put it on me a long time ago and said, oh, okay, use and abuse.
I just have a big old boot print.
Yeah. Okay. Tell you what. It's so incredibly powerful and sad and like everybody, like crazy. Beautifully done, my friend. Beautifully done.
Thanks, sweet. So, and now you get to update with your 228 words.
I know. I can't believe I wrote that long of a poem. All right. Here I go.
1 second. Okay, now you're right.
I think you only wrote part of the poem. Cal wrote the other part.
Okay. All right. This is called Dandelion Secrets. An unaltered beauty in the land of Jezebel. She wears a smile that hides all tales of the dragon's talons that ripped her flesh. The scars on her wrists show no bravery, tightrope walking yesterday's memory. Tight-lipped pretender, she rarely speaks. Bitten by a serpent, unseen. Crisscrossed eyes of hate unleashed. Sliced by pen, ebony ink spills crimson blood. In a ping-pong serve of open-ended questions, words blurred in an action-packed movie dialogue of cursed words and broken-down love songs. Speak and she bleeds. Soft-spoken pretender. A believer in Snow White forever love stories, dragon slayers, perfect castles, and magical kisses. His tongue swirls in a cesspool of filth and drools acid lies. An evil bitch cast a spell and turned his veins icicle blue. Ebony's shadow swallowed her whole as his kindness withdrew. Razor blade teardrops etched cherub cheek scars. Bruises hide under her China doll smiles. Her nails crawled into flesh, drawing half crescent moon. Dark shadows mask the unfamiliar in the kind space. Hides sharpness in nails of the hands we take. And soften the eyes of a monster before we escape. Shadows crawl into corners in a holy confessions of grace. Solutions speak deep from the darkness of a hallowed space. Absolutions rise out of the candle flames, cross bones, skull faces. Dandelion secrets blow in the wind, wondering how it all went so wrong. And yet we still sing the words. Our broken down love song and poem.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. What are we going to do with you? Yeah. You know, the visions of the warrior, the strong person that, you know, we all kind of try and present ourselves as. I think that draw in, and then you know, the fight that ensues with the emotions and the swelling tongue and everything else. It's like, you know, I almost want to say, you know, it's foolish to play with someone like that. Not that that's necessarily the intention when they start it out, but it usually winds up that way and, or, you know, leaves you feeling that way. And you know, to watch someone with such strength break is really painful, because, you know, they're usually the one that everyone turns to when it comes time to pick up the pieces and take care of things. So to see that person in pain and to watch them get hurt is twice as painful all over again. And then, you know, to see them with those tears in their eyes, it's just, I don't know how to put it. It's just heart-wrenching. You kill me.
Okay, Hurt Walker Man.
And we have two callers.
All right.
So, area code 573, who do we have?
Good evening, it's Sinister Spill.
Hi, how are you, Sin? And area code 209, who may I ask is calling?
Kimberly.
Hi, Kimberly, how are you? Welcome, guys. Did either of you get a chance to hear Sweet Pea's poem?
I just caught the very end of it.
Yeah, it's the same one. I'm trying to read it.
I'm stuck on the fact that it's Ron, Sin, and Kim. Anyway, Pretty Bird, can you comment this week?
Of course I can, because I've got tons of words. First of all, Dandelion Secret, just the title alone, you know, when you make those wishes, even or especially as an adult, because, you know, it takes a lot to get a grown-up person to bend over, pick up one of those things just to make a wish. And the secret ones, the ones that aren't those kind of fluffy little kid wishes, those ones that you don't share, those ones that you wish over those gosh darn reptilian hearts. And this breaks me. And you're in there with all the beauty, and an unaltered beauty in a land of Jezebel. She wears a smile that hides all tales. Because you know what? It's nobody's damn business to begin with. You know, if you're not, if they weren't a part of it and you don't feel like telling them, they don't need to know. It hides everything. Everybody's well within reason to smile at the world when they are hurting. They don't have to hide from themselves. They also don't have to share all their crap. Because, you know, I'm all for privacy. But, and besides, you know, it's not easy to want to admit that, you know, you believe in dragons and you've got Christ open. And as you go through, bitten by a serpent unseen, you know, speak, and she bleeds, soft-spoken pretender, a believer in Snow White forever, love stories, dragon slayers, perfect castles, and magical kisses. And it's the last one, it's those magical kisses that kind of lull you into this place, feels like that. If it takes you outside of yourself, it must be real, and you want to believe, and it's got to be, you know, reciprocal, and life isn't always that kind. And so then you've got, you know, the filth and acid lies, and her nails crawled into flesh, drawing half-crescent moons. And, you know, that reminds me of, you know, if you pinch yourself over here, you'll forget that you've got that blister on your toe, you know. So you pinch the flesh so your heart doesn't hurt, and it's heartbreaking, you know. Shadows crawl into corners and holy confessions from grace. Solutions speak deep from the darkness of hollowed space. And that is a hard place to be, where every breath echoes in loud sighs that feel like lead and down my stomach, and this is just beautiful to see.
Seems a fast reader. He just spends a lot of time on mute, that's all. Because he doesn't know I'm calling on him. Kind of am.
You calling for me? Sorry, I grabbed my headset and my daughter was asking.
Oh, no, please, no, please don't apologize. I'm seriously, I was kind of half teasing. I know you can read pretty fast and whatnot, and you said you were catching up, so.
Yeah, I can give a comment on that poem.
If you like.
It was a tale of heartache and pain, love and disdain. I'm regretful that I didn't catch all of your reads because I love your reads.
Thank you.
You have a great voice for it. But this shows the power in your pen right here on how you can once again deliver something so magically tragic. Beautiful piece.
Thank you.
Magically Thank tragic. You. That is sweet pea to a T.
And there was no body count this time.
No body count.
No dead babies.
I'm still singing the wrong one. No dead babies. Just, you know, singing the songs to our broken down love song.
Yeah. So, Kimberly, did you want to read next?
Sure. Good choice.
Awesome. Give me 1 second to put you up there. Okay, Kimberly, you are on the board.
Through it all. Good times. Strong hands caressing with velvet waves, electric white dots flashing lidded eyes, heated moist lips glide over exposed neck, musical background of moans and sighs. Heaving hard chest rubbing taut peaks, head spinning so out of control. Physical touch anyone can give, you somehow reach into my soul. Bad times. Your words slice through so deeply, each hateful sound grates in my ears. Confusion sets in from the emotional abuse. It's been going on for so many years. Everything between us so extreme. Never are we just at ease. You play with my heart like a puppet, making me do whatever you please. The end. I never for a moment saw it coming, that you'd be ripped away, forever lost. The good always outweighed the bad. I would have stayed no matter the cost. Every night in my dreams or my nightmares, you are the star, whatever you do. I may forever have a broken heart, but it still only beats for you. In poem.
That was beautiful. You know, I like the idea of, you know, I won't say the sanctity of it, but, you know, the honesty of being in love with someone. And, you know, the whole concept that some people tend to overlook, you know, when they say, you know, the good and the bad, you know, flaws and all, you embrace that completely. You hint a little at, I guess, some abusive relationship type traits, but, you know, you were willing to deal with that. You know, I guess you knew what you were signing up for. You know, it was worth it. The good outweighed the bad. And, you know, I don't know. I'm certainly familiar with that idea. You know, you try to put up with it until you can't, I guess. I don't know. It's a tough tightrope to walk, but you expressed it beautifully. You know, you talk about the passion, lovely in the beginning. And then, you know, you pull back the curtain a little bit and you get real. And you know, life isn't all roses like that and passion, but, you know, that's kind of what, at least for me, that's what I focus on, you know. It's almost easy to dismiss the unkind words because, I mean, for me, I focus on the idea of the emotion that the other stuff brings out in me, and I tell myself, well, if that's true, then, you know, the other stuff, I must be mistaken, or, you know, it's not like something that's going to, you know, carry on or continue even. He doesn't mean, or she doesn't mean to, you know, do that to me. So it's really a horrible place to be. And you expressed it beautifully. Thank you for sharing it tonight, Kimberly.
You're welcome.
Sweet, what'd you think?
Well, I really enjoy poems that use the puppet metaphor because it brings in the partnership of control and love. And it is so demanding and hurtful and full of pain. It just really just ties everything together, the beginning, the middle, the end. And it doesn't take away that love. It just helps gather that metaphor, that puppet, because you always have that string, that string to that person, that line, that bind. No matter how hurtful it was, you still are attached somehow, that string to that person. So I love that metaphor that you use.
Thank you.
Sam, can you comment for Kim?
Yeah, this is more than relatable. This is spot on. A love that digs deep, cuts even deeper. Give and take, usually more take than give, but there was enough give there to fall madly, deeply, insanely in love. And you touch on that poetic kindness. Beautiful piece.
Thank you.
Pretty great. You get the last word.
First of all, I have a soft spot for vignettes because when they're done well, they're lovely. And this three-part love story tells a complete tale, tragic as it may be. And I truly appreciate that. And you've got that passion to start with where, you know, sometimes you meet someone, you've got that animal attraction going, and it is a powerful pull. And, you know, and not to be all, you know, in-depth about it, sometimes when it's good, everything else looks better. And so, you know, you kind of got that kind of newlywed, can't keep your hands off each other vibe going in the good times. And then sometimes that settles in, and for whatever reason, human nature is to take frustrations out on those closest to you because, you know that they're going to forgive you. And it's not even a thought, they're just there, you know. And people tend to be kinder to strangers. And it's a tough place to be if you're in a situation where, and I'm sure all of us have at some point, it hurts the most when it's something that you would never consider doing to someone. You know, people are raised, their friends, different backgrounds, different everything, and they don't always handle situations how we think they would, how we would, how, you know, human nature thinks that everybody needs to respond in some kind of similar fashion to how we would respond. Otherwise, it's like, oh, I don't understand why they did that. I was like, well, because they're not you. Everybody's different. You know, these things happen. But it's a hard place to be, and it's painful when they take advantage of kindness in the worst ways. And even when it's over, even if it's the best thing for a person, you know, you mourn the loss of what was once great. And so I think that this kind of encapsulates that entire thing really well.
Now, once you lose someone when they pass away, though, it makes you think about everything that was bad a lot less, you know, and the good times seem to be a lot more. Yeah.
I almost think of it like, you know, this is how you got to know them, you know, or you came to know them. So you know, when you think about them, that's what's in the forefront. Anyway.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful piece. Thank you. Finn, did you want to read and run, or did you want to hang out, or how are you feeling?
I'm all right to hang out. I took a nap before I came on the show. I set my alarm so I wouldn't miss it.
Next, if you like.
It's up to you, brother. I'm ready whenever.
And okay, you're on the board, Tim. Oh, you're going to play me? All right, okay.
Cathedral glass.
On the board, babe.
Cathedral glass. Blue and cold, lifeless I have found you. Wretched be the day you went away. I'm not okay as I sift through pieces, shattered aorta like broken glass, distraught mania. We were supposed to elevate and spite, lift full the sands of our hourglass was left, but tragedy took you sooner than that. Mercy died that day, cracked everywhere, question reason. Splinters of glass fell from your cathedral, walls shook with mighty vigor and pain. I can't trust my thoughts at all today. Reflecting the plethora of chaos ensued. Trace fully the spot you last laid. Walk a circle of regret and shame. Still, you took me back that night before. Love was blossoming. Connections unite. Twisting you. Engaging your bounty for a lifetime, I could say. Beckoned together, yet I thirst you like new. Showered me in reconciliation, budding tides. Alas, when I awoke, I found you breathless. Devastated eyes. Tried to reassemble the broken glass, mouthed my intent, but I was too late. Damn this pinnacle of seeping death, broke down amongst shards painfully. I lost more than a partner, I lost my heart. Jagged little pieces of despair I now sit, bleeding from my digits, sprawling names. I'm lost without you, lover. I shall not live again. In peace.
Wow. I love the metaphor you tied into that imagery. The cathedral glass alone makes me think of stained glass without saying the stained part. You know, the pictures of I remember when I was younger, I was an altar boy, and, you know, the stained glass in the churches and the windows depicting the scenes and things, the beautiful colors and everything, and the way that it would come into the church. Just that thought alone, you know, set my mind reeling. And then, you know, the idea of, losing something so beautiful, because, you know, you set it up with the beginning idea of just that simple statement, and then, you know, you tear it down. And watching it crumble, mirrors the sadness and the emotion that you're going for, I think, in a beautifully relatable way, And my heart goes out to you, man. It's beautifully relatable, but, you know, tragically heartbreaking at the same time. It's great.
Thank you, Rick.
Pretty Bird, did you want to comment?
Oh, absolutely. This is painful and tragic and punctuated by those two-word titles, section by section, moment by moment. And there are many slicing lines of heartache. The one that just stands out to me, that speaks to me on a very personal level, is I can't trust my thoughts at all today. Because it doesn't matter what you want to focus on. It doesn't matter what you need to do. You know, the mind takes you where it wants. It follows the heart into trenches or up to the heavens. And good days and bad days seem to have no rhyme or reason. And I just really love that line. You know, it pulls at me in very real ways.
Thank you.
Sweet. What'd you think?
Mm-hmm.
just heartbroken, right? Just beautiful and just stunning, and breaks my heart for you, Sin. I've got to say, I think this is one of my favorites of yours, and I have quite a few favorites of yours. You just speak from your heart and your soul, and I just, jagged little pieces of despair, I now sit reading from my digits, sprawling names. I'm lost without you, lover. I shan't love again. It's just a lovely tribute and a lovely piece of life in the most devastating, brilliant way. It's just gorgeous.
Thank you, sweet.
I think the Sin's going to stand for sincere now. Kimberly, can you comment for Sinister?
She had to go. She's watching the grandkids, but she says thank you.
Wow, okay. All right. Yeah, that was great, Sin. That really was. We've got a couple left. I was trying to throw Pretty Bird under the bus, but she managed to avoid that up until now. Please.
So which one do you want to hear, Rack?
Oh,
Carnage, Live.
Incarnadine.
You want Carnage?
Yes.
Okay.
Beautiful Carnage.
Okay. After you read, I got to tell you about Carnage.
It's on the board, and it is called Ink, Grace, and the Beautiful Carnage by Pretty Bird. Tongues forked and bladed, dragging through flesh in calligraphy that screams your name in carnadine carrion, fading the hunger for my agony, a truth that had fueled all the pain in loving me. Silence, my only strength. I endure it all in enamored examination, but that kind of love lives eternal in pain that scrapes bones, scars the essence of man. Oh, the joy, it's resplendent, but its light leaves no shadow. Cruel stained and salted truth fades its cooling warmth as life poaches travesty. Gray watches the velvet verbiage pool at my feet in unspoken truth and hidden. And when we speak in tongues forked and bladed, dragging through flesh in calligraphy screams your name. I smile because you're smiling at last. And pause.
Wow. You know, I love this from the first time I heard it. The thought behind it, you know, speaks to me a lot about the thought for tonight about being broken, but, you know, still loving someone. And this kind of almost accentuates the brokenness and what it is that made you smile, the realization. It's just, I just love the way you write.
Thank you.
Sin, can you comment for Pretty Bird?
Start talking, I'm on mute. Depth here, layers of emotion, pain, love, loss. Another one, when we're bitten by that love bug, let's say, lack of better words, and it's a strained encounter, and whether we get through it or not is a decision that's painfully made, but not always painfully accepted. Beautiful piece.
Thank you so much.
Sweet Pea, you with us?
Yeah, I think Amadeus is done yapping. I love Gray watches the velvet verbiage pull up at my feet in unspoken truths, unhidden. when you speak in tongues. I smile because you're smiling. Beautiful. Love wrapped in unspoken truth. And you finally do deserve to smile there, Raconteur. And I'm glad that Pretty Bird can smile for you. It's definitely a show of love, of friendship, you know, truth between two friends that most people don't even understand. It does show something there that a lot of people might not know or may pretend to see but don't. But I think I have a little more in-depth into this, and I find it very touching, by the way. Thanks for being there for each other. And I really appreciate you too a lot.
Okay.
You're welcome.
I just put the other one up on the board, by the way, Rack.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I think Deb's the only one, and she didn't call in yet, so, right?
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to look for a second one, Sin, if you feel like it, well, I guess you're going to play mine, so.
I am, and we have a whole, 45 minutes, so Steve, if you've got something you want to read where you want to kill that baby, feel free. You know, since you didn't have any sacrificial children in the last one, and not that you need to pick one like that, I'm just saying. And so here we go, Rack.
Cherished by Raconteur. You had no intention of making it easy, offering little hope to an arrogant smartass seeking your affection. The harder you tried to prove that you were broken, the more certain I was I'd uncovered perfection. I don't bother with hellos that only lead to contentious goodbyes, accumulating salinated droplets that fall indiscriminately from once placid eyes. My bones crack and pop like a geriatric clock as I wander the wreckage of a life come undone, searching for that which was once beautiful, but now only serves to blot out the sun. Convinced there will come a moment to justify the pain, somehow reigniting that spark, nurturing it gently to a roaring flame. Hanging on to what once was, despite knowing things will never be the same, even if we can't repair the devastation, trying will never be in vain. Our future may be written in the stars, but it's our choice to walk together. Tell me you want me by your side, and it's there I will remain forever. End poem.
Raconteur. You know, I kind of love the whole arrogant smartass, by the way, because, you know, you are who you are. But, and you know, I don't bother with hellos that only lead to contentious goodbyes. But here at the end, where you always get me, where you always twist things in ways that land on the field, you know, hanging on despite knowing it'll never be the same, you know, even if we can't repair the devastation, trying will never be in vain. There's something to be said about that kind of conviction, about perseverance, where it's not just wanting to be there just to be there. It's that it has so much value you don't want to let go unless you're forced to. So just say you want to be here with me and
I will stay by your side until you make me leave. And I love that. I love the notion of that, because in today's day and age, it's not like it was, you know, 50 years ago. Like now, everything's disposable. You know, you break something, you don't fix it, you buy a new one. You know, you get into a fight with your girlfriend, you find a new one. And where back in the day, you work through stuff. And when you find somebody willing to work through the stuff, you know, that's where it gets good. Because the more stuff you go through, the stronger you are on the other side of that. And it's absolutely worth the fight. And I just find this to be absolutely beautiful. So, sweet pea, good talk.
Well, this is one of my favorites of Mr. Man, because kind of exactly what you say for, you know, I didn't plan on walking away. I'm not walking away. This is the way it's going to be. He's just got the strength to him, like, I don't care what you're going to say, I'm standing strong, and, you know, I didn't do this just to walk away. And again, you know, he has that whole attitude, like, we can do this, and I'm going to be here, and it is what it is, and count on me kind of thing, which a lot of that doesn't go on. And it's that kind of guy that he is, that kind of, you know, every woman woos for. So, Dragon Tor, get us out of that hurt locker.
Thanks, sweet.
Anytime.
And Sinister, your shot.
Try to get back to what I typed here, but I can't. This is a relatable piece to me because it just touches on that heartache when you fall so deeply in love and it becomes sour and toxic, but you want it still because of those moments that were so perfect. You try to hold on to them no matter what, and it's just not always the greatest endeavor to make, but a little pleasure and pain go a long way. Nice with them.
We have Jethro on the board. He dropped a poem and needs a reader if you wanted me to put him up.
Destro?
Jethro.
Jethro.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Okay, pick a reader.
Oh, I got to do that, huh? How your eyes feel? No, your eyes aren't any good. Your eyes are almost as bad as mine these days, aren't they? Sweet, you feel like reading Jethro? You can? All right, Sin. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Giving away a smile, take two. I was giving away a smile today to a beautiful girl that I just met. In the afterglow of an evening came a spark, like a quiet dream of embers, a fire satellite, and I smiled at my own surprise. For you see, there was no games being played. The stage wasn't set for such silhouettes. But for a quiet dream of fire on the evening's end, I can't help myself. It's no use me trying to forget that lovely little storm of gold and red she made. A night of lover meeting love, I believe, and if only for how her nakedness frames my bed, I shall try to have faith that this time a day of lover leaving lover doesn't have to mean a love was left or even lost. I've lit a cigarette, leaning out the window, got Coltrane's Blue Train on. But I know I've got to be going eventually, but I shall remain until the record's done for her innocence, if nothing else. to let her know I had to fight myself before I left in peace.
That's pretty cool, Jethro. Stay until the record's done, huh? It's a pretty cool concept. I think some people don't think past the record ending. I enjoyed the banter, the pick up the play, the whole interplay between the two people. It was emotional without really getting too, I guess, philosophical. It was just, you know, kind of an offering of this is what's going on, and I'm going with it. I really enjoyed it. Pretty Bird, what'd you think?
I actually thought this was quite beautiful. I was giving away a smile today to a beautiful girl that I just met. That's just a lovely introduction to a story that a little peek into moments of shared time, which I absolutely found delightful as a lead-in. And then you have that little bit of that I smiled at my own surprise. You know those moments where it's a little bit more than you expected and it catches you off guard. And I kind of love how he kind of captured that there. And even if this was just a one-time thing, an accidental meeting, a moment of time, it's... you know, when he says, I shall try to have faith at this time, a day of lover leaving lover, it doesn't have to mean a love was left or even lost, where that moment can just linger and live on in memory as perfect as it was when the memory was made. And I just really love the idea of that. And that closing line, when you're in a place, you don't really want to leave, even if you have to go. It's a hard place to be, and it carries weight to it. When you walk out and do what needs doing or whatever, even though where you want to be is in that moment just a little bit longer, he also captures that very well. I enjoyed this.
Great comments. Sin, you've read it. What'd you think?
I thought it was an exquisite waltz of passion and indulgence, and it was penned exquisitely. I enjoyed it.
Awesome. What about you?
Well, I have to. I really enjoyed this. I shall try to have faith this time. A day of a lover leaving a lover doesn't mean a love was left or even lost. I like he lit the cigarette, got Coltrane's Blue Train on, and, you know, he hung out and, you know, just listened to the record for her innocence, if nothing else, you know, letting her know I had to find myself before I left. And I like the overall kind of smooth, jazzy type feel to this poem. And then, you know, like this vibe he's got going, you know, like, hey, I'm a cool dude. I really have fun with this chick and life is good. And maybe we'll hook up again. And it's just got this real kind of nice, like a marijuana vibe to it. Just really nice. So I kind of like that. But it also has, I read his author's notes and I really like because he's like a revision of an old poem, but it's from old notepads from a long time ago. And I like it because I have a bunch of old notepads too, old books, you know, from way back when I was writing poetry. And every once in a while I'll flip through them and I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember when I attempted that. And I'll go back and I'm like, oh, wait, I can redo that. And he did that. And I thought that was really cool and really kind of, you know, special. So I really, really am glad that old notebook pad he old brought us something special to share. That was really cool.
That was
awesome. Real good job, Jethro. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to save scraps of paper with all those little thoughts on them, and they wind up someplace eventually. Sometimes even like he did, and like taking an old poem and kind of retooling it. But yeah, it had a great vibe to it, Jethro. Thank you for sharing that. Did you find another one you wanted to read, Sin? Of yours?
Yeah, I did. I read it a year ago, but I'm going to say fuck it and read it again anyway, if that's all right with you guys.
Yep, put it up on the main board.
All right. There we go, everybody sit.
Yep.
All right. Evolutionary entanglement. I shall eternally bear the heathen's mark, shamefully so, for all that I have broken. Rot and loathsome characters, my palate exposed, our orbitals cracked, waterless. Not reflecting this tragic canopy fiercely imposed, this vow in shadows, your lighted towers break. Battling throat deep in such venomous relays, only asserting our violent, stark caressing. Stone smashed, your porcelain chin cradled. You, though, repeatedly filling empty hands, soured more than bowels are known tolerant. Strange we survived this poison shoveled in. Bridges aren't meant to suspend this heinous gap. Questionable the distances rapidly set apart. No power for any choice are these games. So determined, detrimental a position where no one wins. Time, not a friendly fragment. Tourniquets, these crippled chambers under volatile skies. Languid as Sahara, twisting kaleidoscope havens. Dissipating into an unfavorable axis of hell. Stemmed this endeavor in a galaxy of stalled gravity. We're supposed to scribe history upon such stars. Sanguine in sorrow, the wine of our divinity as we feast on lacerations of aged flesh tired from this engagement. Chasms of wrong, be the brunt, I devastate in the corals of the asshole eyes. Shy caveman chronology traces. You held beauty. Now shattered stained glass in the cathedral of what once housed the passion regained strength in. This fallout, terrifyingly obtuse and hideous, exemplifies the digression of our understanding and our evolutionary entanglement and peace.
Wow. I like this a lot. You know, sometimes it's tough I won't say admit, but, you know, to confront, you know, what's going on. And in the beginning, you kind of take the blame and shoulder it. And then, you know, as things go on, you try and, I don't know, it's just very, very deep and emotional. And the broken glass comes back again. I really like that imagery a lot. The whole piece is just speaking to me. It's beautiful. Sweet, what'd you think?
Well, you know, with Sin, there's the read, which is that in itself an experience. Then there's the thoughts, which make anybody's mind go, okay, let me breathe that in. Bridges aren't meant to suspend such heinous gaps, questionable the distance rapidly set apart. So I stopped there and went, bridges aren't meant to suspend. Okay, such heinous gaps. Okay, Sin, you got me now. I'm stuck here. And I thought, wow. All right, let me absorb that one. And then I'm going, okay, that's deep. And then I went, these crippled chambers under volatile skies. We're supposed to scribe history upon such stars.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'm getting this. Okay, you've got me, Sin. I'm here. All right, we're all just screwing this up. we're not doing this right. We are telling lies to everyone around us, and we're not putting out what we're supposed to be putting out. And there's such a distance between us and the truth, and we're in this position, and we're playing games with our hearts and our souls, and are we really telling the truth of what we are? Are we spinning, like, desperately, trying to find something that we shouldn't be in? And am I doing this to myself? Am I pretending? Am I not happy? Am I playing this character? Am I so unhappy with who I am and where I'm at that I'm just literally in the bowels of my own hell? And should I be getting myself out? Because I'm just entangled and not being true to myself with who I'm with and where I'm at and where I should be going. And all of a sudden that all hit me at once, because you make me think about what I'm supposed to be doing with my life in my head and what my history is and what I should be writing my history and how I should be writing my history and where my history should be going. Because if I'm not, those hideous gaps is not for the bridge, it's for my brain. And what am I doing where I'm at? God, you make me think.
Thank you for such an indulgent comment.
And then I'm going through this, and I already wrote, I didn't even think, but I wrote a comment on this a year ago, and I didn't even know that. Wow. It did the same thing to me. I should have read my own damn comment. I wouldn't have to think so hard.
That was a beautiful comment. I enjoyed that. Thank you. Put a smile on my face.
Go ahead, pretty bird.
Strange we survived with poison shoveled in. You know, we take a lot of shit, and we dish out a lot of shit. And on an individual basis, on a sentence-by-sentence basis, when we're in a mood or thoughtlessly flipped, it stings, it lashes, and how long can we expect someone to survive at our tongue's edge, or how long can we survive on theirs? And that line that she went over, we're supposed to scribe history upon such stars, is so gloriously beautiful that I cannot even. It's like there's all of this meant to be. Like when you are with this person, it's not supposed to be this hard. It's not supposed to be this unfavorable access of hell. And it's supposed to be more than that. It's supposed to be everything, you know, because it's written in the stars. And how beautiful a notion is that? And I just lost where the heck I was. Give me 1 second. Okay, here we are. And then you go down a little further, and you're like, I devastate them plurals of the asshole eye. And you know what? That is a moment of introspection where you're not just, you know, saying, wow, that was a nasty thing I just did. It's okay, so I'm this kind of asshole and that kind of asshole, and I'm this asshole over here, and damn, I'm all the assholes. In this moment where you're like, oh, well, maybe I'm kind of doing it to myself as much as it's being done to me. And I really love that, you know, the chasm of that entire thing in your head, because it's amazing how deep some of these lines are, and that's kind of wonderful. And we have AP on the line, by the way, Rack.
AP, how you doing, sir?
Hello, Rack. I'm well. I got a little bit ahead of myself, and got really excited about having all my new gear, and then worked out that I hadn't actually got the SIM card across to the new phone, and I needed to go back and set up the old one again. So, you know, there you go.
At least you made it.
I did. I was sitting there grimacing at the phone quite a bit, pretty bird. But no, I got here in one piece still.
So you're breaking in your new phone.
I am. It is a brand new iPhone 13, 64 gig sucker. So, you know, I'll probably not be able to fill that memory space like I have the old one. Well, I hope not. And I'm certainly not going to be able to with the iPad because it's got eight times the memory. So that's kind of cool.
Awesome.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Did you bring it
for 3 years? Almost kills me. But yes, I am ready to read it. I'm much more comfortable in the land of poetry than I am in the land of establishing new technology. But anyway, that's okay. Here we are.
Well, at least it's less frustrating.
Well, you know, yes, basically. But anyway, that's okay. I've moved on. And I am addressing the prompt rack in my own way. This is Crocodiles. It is on the pen. It goes a little bit like this. My heart lies deeply within and has moved on to elsewhere, far from the racker and din, to a calm place at Dandelion's Fair. Here hope abounds on velds, rivers they obscure no crocodiles, where by rump no longer held by skin teeth or complex wiles. But I am nothing if not practical. You in our largest asset have sat. I don't mind if you call me owl as long as the place is sold stat. My heart no longer does soar, just wishes to move on past pain, past history to beats implore. Stop funding your lawyer's plane. End poem.
Oh, my goodness. You got a little musical reference in there. You got your rump in there, and you got the lawyer's plane.
Thank you very much.
I really enjoyed it. You did a great job with this. I won't say it's all over the map because there's a method to your madness like there usually is. I mean, I love it. This is great. Thank you. Funding it while you're playing. Oh, Sweet Petey, you got a lawyer?
I have a couple. You never know what kind of trouble I'm going to get into. This is great.
Did you want to comment?
Yes, I love this. Stop funding your lawyer's plane. My heart no longer does soar, just wishes to move past history beat implore. Stop funding your lawyer's plane. Yeah, I understand this a lot. I find it odd, again, AP, Mr. Dower. You and I used dandelions in our poem tonight.
I did actually might have seen that on the board, Sweet.
Odd. Yes. Calm the place of dandelions there. Yeah, I think we both had problems with this. Although he funded his own lawyers twice. Have you ever had a lawyer fire you?
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Yeah,
My lawyers are quite angsty at me, Sweet, because I got lawyers that quote up front and give you a fixed cost, and everything that the other side has done has taken twice as much time, and so they reckon that I've basically ripped them off. So my lawyers don't like me either.
Yeah, well, my lawyers had the same problem where the other lawyer fired him. They fired him, and so he had to find new ones. Not my problem. Yeah. But yeah, I get it. I like it.
Oh, thank you.
Good job.
That's it. Did you want to comment? Sinister.
Yeah, I mute myself whenever I'm not on. Sorry, it takes me a second.
That's cool.
This was a comical romp through something in life. It's not always so funny, but it's how we take it on and what we do with it that matters all the most. And this is a great example of that.
Thank you.
You're up next, Pretty Bird. What did you think?
I love it. I love that you can broach things with the humor that you do, because that's not always easy when you're in a place that has caused, you know, well,
yeah,
more than its fair share of frustration. But I love that there is still a kindness here. You know, here hope abounds and bells rivers, they obscure no crocodiles, whereby, you know, where you're no longer held in the grip of anything, and nothing, it's not practical, you know. you have all of this. You know, I'm just asking that you just stop taking my money for the love of God. And so I'm loving this. I love this, but it's not a easy place to have had to drag yourself through, and to come out of that with the humor that you do is just brilliant.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't think getting angsty helps anything, Pretty Bird. Be honest. So if you can put yourself in a space that is where you can be practical, you just smile at it and say, well, it is what it is. You got to be in a better state of mind, really.
Oh, I'm a hot button Latin. I might, that state of mind comes after all the heat.
No, well, I'm a very pragmatic Australian, and I just sort of, you know, go, and I just say, well, it is what it is, you know, let's just get on with it and sell it and move on with things, you know. So that's just me.
I see Pretty Bird in the division of assets giving him the cast iron pan. Hot off the skillet, no less. Boom. Oh. So no sign of Deb yet, huh? She didn't say she wanted a reader, right? She said might call or will call.
She didn't say either, I don't think. Let me see. No. So I'm expecting her to call. I did not mean to accidentally mute you. I've got the studio open. I'm on my phone AP, and I went to go tap it up because it closed up, and I tapped it on, and I tapped it right off.
I put mine up.
Awesome.
All right.
Where is it? Right.
It's on the board.
Put it up.
No.
Put it up.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
I put it up.
Wait. I don't see it. What the heck
it's
is it? Oh, up there.
Yours.
Okay. Here it is.
There.
There it is. Okay.
All right.
Getting there.
Because you wanted something. You wanted something mean, so I put something mean up. Okay.
No, really?
Mm-hmm.
You're so accommodating.
Okay. So this is Shadows and Fools. Faded rainbows are the melted faces of sorrowful clowns pretending that dead ponies are prancing unicorns on the other side of thunderstorms. Ebony crow quills break and fall as they are guilty and now fry on the electrical wires for telling the secrets their beady, bulging eyes could have witnessed. Face in mirror stares blankly into the pair of glossy brown eyes rolling in silent movie clips. And the smell of burnt hair and popcorn fill air bubbles. The eyes roll. I stand staring into the monochrome Hollywood scene of my own wards. Slashing skin as warm blood drips down around me. End poem.
Ouch.
Well then.
Wow. Unicorns, huh? I don't know where to go when you do the bloodletting. I shouldn't have opened my big mouth, should I?
Yeah.
I did, and you more than delivered, apparently.
I know.
Pretty Bird, highlight the carnage.
Well, first of all, that second verse is by far my favorite. I absolutely love the feel of it, the weight of it, the angst of it, the ebony crow quills break and fall as they are guilty, and now they fry on electric wires for telling the secrets their beady, bulging eyes could have witnessed. Because Lord knows, we spill all kinds of things and words. Gosh darn raven. And I love that, because sometimes you don't have control. You need to let it out. And there it is right there for everybody to see, all your deep way you want to write it. And, you know, what's done is done. And once it's born, you don't kill your babies, not those babies. And so I absolutely love that. I love that. And you sure did start right on in, right off the bat. You know, faded rainbows are the melted faces of sorrowful clowns who pretending that dead ponies are prancing unicorns on the other side of thunderstorms. Well, yeah, you can pretend all you want, but how often can you beat a dead horse that ain't going to jump for you? And that's a sad place to be, where everything is the aftermath. And try as you might, there is no galvanization. There is no reanimation. There is no, you know, Frankensteining the horses. And I love that you start kind of full on. And at the end, while it's really, really bloody, it's kind of like a quiet acquiescence. The eyes roll.
I'm done.
I stand staring into the monochrome Hollywood scene of my own orb, because that brings me to a little bit of science, where, you know, your cones and rods and whatnot are constantly moving to simulate color. If they don't move, and some people are afflicted with, they stop moving, you know, so there's black and white if they're not constantly shifting their eyes. And so when you've looked at it for so long that it just fades into grayscale, and you kind of give up a little bit, and that is the end. And that is really profound and amazing. So bring on the bloodletting, my sweet.
Thank you, darling.
Not that I want you to actually, you know, do the bloodletting, but in words.
No, not at all.
Well, she does have lawyers on retainer. Hey, AP, can you comment this week?
This sort of poem reminds me of when I went to my friend's place opposite down in the country, and we were playing cricket, and so we hit the ball into the – and so they got me to go and get the ball. And being a city guy, I sort of didn't sort of know much about electric fences, and they took great joy when I climbed the fence.
Oh, no.
And ended 10 metres away on my back, having received one mother of an electric shock. And I sort of look at this poem and I think, you know, we all started off and we were thinking, you know, happy little horses and all that stuff. And I was too when I sort of was on that fence. And then when I was on the ground and bruised and badly singed, I think I was in the same place as this poem. In comment.
I'm sorry.
Senator. Yeah, what the fuck just happened? That was amazing.
She burned down the house.
That's how I feel about the whole thing.
I'm sorry.
It crashes into you like a train. It's awesome.
Thank
you. I can just see you standing in the movie theater with the big machete, blood dripping everywhere, and a smile on your face.
Yeah.
It's all about that smile,
freaky.
Sweet.
Oh, thank you, Sin.
You're most welcome.
Did you bring a second one, Pretty Bird?
Sure.
Please.
Okay. let's see, which one, where is it? Here it is. Give me 1 second to pull this. I've got 16 tabs open because I am me. And this is The Worst Lie You Accidentally Let Me Believe. And I need my glasses because this is really tiny font because that's what I picked. I'm an idiot. Or I used to be able to see and now not so much. Okay. It's The Worst Lie You Accidentally You Accidentally Let Me Believe. That's pretty bird. I don't run from hard. I remember the day you said those words. I remember I'm the only one who stayed. You said you didn't care enough for me to hurt you. I believed you. We were both wrong. Progress backslides against razors, but couldn't bleed my heart dry. There was frost in the air when I heard the words that made you heartless and me invisible. I don't run from hard. Until you do. All doubt with no benefit, I wish my truth made sense to you. Feet planted in cement boots, but there are no fishes to swim with. You always save me last minute, until today. I'm sorry you don't want to love me. I'm sorry you hate yourself for caring anyway. I apologize for my wrongs, but I won't apologize for who I am. You still can't see me for the pieces your lyrics carved me into. I don't run from hard, but you don't stay either. Though I never left your mind for long. Thrown away like garbage, if garbage were nothing, but garbage is something more than you ever let me believe I was. I don't run from hard. Beaten, bloodied, and on my knees, I acquiesce, barely breathing. I still can't run. So I close my eyes, reminding myself that you are determined, or you are detrimental to my emotions. It doesn't stop the tears binding me to apparitions, a part of me, always. I still feel you. I don't run from heart, so I'm crawling blind, trying to set you free. End poem.
Wow, just as powerful as the first time. And I'm going to actually make you laugh at this, or at least at one line, at one thought. I aspire to be garbage because garbage gets picked up. I love the way you write. I've said that a million times, and I'll say it a million more. But you know, you put it out there. You know, sometimes when someone says something, and you take it at its face because you've got no reason not to, and you know you've come to know them and their character and you believe them until they prove themselves to be liars. It's an ugly place to be sometimes when they let you, when someone lets you down like that. It is, because it takes the way you look at someone else and everything else sometimes, and it's just horrible. I really like this. As much as how it pains you, it's just beautifully written. It really is, well expressed as always. Sin, what'd you think?
Thank you.
You know, I was going to say tragically beautiful, but it's not enough. It's gorgeous. It's drop-dead gorgeous poetry.
Oh, wow.
I think it's just masterfully written, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. It's truth. In your face, truth that... we all come to face at some point in our life, and what we do with it is what makes us. But how you wrote this is just amazing.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Okay, you can comment for 2 days.
Well, see, this is where I guess I have a story about being accidentally knocked down by a rubbish truck, but I don't, you know, so I can't actually sort of go there in terms of a simile. I really like I Don't Run From Hard and the repetition of it, because it talks to this real need to be there and to work through things and to fight through things. And I like how the piece finishes with crawling blind to try and set you free, because it talks to that connection and that link, and it talks to that really powerfully, despite the fact that you don't run from hard, and sometimes you probably wish you would.
Yeah. That needs a place to be. Thank you.
Sweet Pea, you get the final say.
I don't deserve you.
I love you.
Hey, Pea, do you have a second one you want to read?
We are at 12:56.
If you got time,
let you know the time.
Rack, this is going to be my first question, because you're running out of time, but if you've got time, I'll throw one in and we can go comment free, because I've done this one before. This is a style called a hatter. It's called Hourglass Sands. It's up on the board now. It goes a bit like this. A spottering torch, still watching, no glow stands, ready light stuttering. Do not watch as the last torch fades, no watching, still torch sputtering. Devil forbade, devil forbade. Stuttering light ready, stands glow. Hills creep past off mirror time years, fears is amongst glass shattered spills. The glass that shattered held the wine, years time mirror, past creep hills. Lines weep divine, lines weep divine. Still shattered glass amongst his fears. Tales of March, blood in stained band, sands hourglass on dunes of lost whales. The shadows march along the walls, band stained in blood match of tales. A dead man calls, a dead man calls. Whales lost of dunes on hourglass sands. End poem.
Pretty bird, I'm going to let you go first.
So this is a hatter poem, like a hatter style
poem.
It
is a hatter poem.
So
it has its own form, yes.
In the style of hat.
That is
words,
awesome.
Maybe.
So I am particularly fond of that the short repeating lines in each verse, because they're like their own punctuation, and you know, devil forbade and lines weep divine, which by the way is just stunning, and a dead man called, and it's just weighs heavier each one, and it's got this lilt to it that just pulls you through. You know, hills keep pass off mirror time and years, fears is amongst the glass shattered spills. You know, these words, these images that you pop up, they have feelings behind them, and it's almost it almost comes at you, or at least at me, in like cracked layers. Not that your words are cracked, but that the images are kind of offset each other a little bit, and I kind of really like that they make me look at them, and they permeate at the same time. So that is fabulous, and I am just loving that it was inspired by something that Hatter wrote, like its own style. So that's kind of fabulous.
Thank you. Thanks,
pretty
yeah, it's you know, it kind of makes me think with all the glass references through the Looking Glass and, you know, Hatter, but the only form that I'm familiar with that repeating line, if I'm not mistaken, is a pantoon does that, right? It has that same,
yes,
similar, I should say, repeating. Okay. So, it gives it a different kind of a flow, but it accentuates things at the same time. I like that. I never thought of Hatter in the form of a pantoon, though. So. The short repeating lines do make me think of him. So I could see why you call it a Hatter form. And I'm imagining if you look at it as it's constructed on the page, it probably has a bit of a shape to it. But I won't go that far because I can't see to confirm it or deny it. But if I'm guessing right, I suspect you'll let me know. I really liked it. It was cool. The whole hatter and looking glass and form. I liked it. Sweet, what'd you think?
I thought it was pretty cool, dude. My in-depth review and, right now.
No, that's cool.
That's pretty cool.
Jen,
I like it a lot.
Sin, did you want to say something? I was asking Sin if you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I'm saying something on mute again. Imagery here is dead on. It paints the picture to what you're writing, and I enjoyed the ride. Thank you.
All right. Well, I guess that leaves Deb and my thank yous. So, I assume we have permission on file to read her.
I hope so.
I would assume so, yes.
She is on the board.
Who wants to jump on that grenade?
I'm happy to read it. That way, if we don't have it, then Deb can take a piece off me.
And I appreciate that. Thank you, AP.
I was going to say, yeah, it's your AP that gets that.
Yeah. This is Rose Petals Die and Violets Do Too, and it goes a little bit like this. A ladybug lands on a bloom, catching hot yellow rays. Black dots, red wings that lift to fly into a glowing haze. In sleep, my wings are clear neon, soaring bright purple skies, with birds singing sweet symphonies, bees and butterflies. Nap, curl up on dandelions inside my arms' tucked knees. Breathe the honeysuckle perfume that rides in on the breeze. Fingertips wrap a stem of green and pluck it from the ground. Lips pat in pucker, lungs inhale, blow white wisps around. As pictures flash inside my brain, mouth whispers calling you. But as the pieces hit the dirt, daydreams do not ring true. Dawn breaks the darkness on the rise and peeks in window panes. Pointing at me, the sunshine laughs, spotlighting teardrop stains. End poem.
Oh, wow. I love what you did with this, Deb. The roses and the roses, listen to me. I want to say, because you mentioned the violets, the roses are red, violets are blue, jumped in my brain because I think that was kind of the imagery that you were going for, because you mentioned a couple of bits and pieces of things that reminded me of other poems like that. My poor brain right now, I'm missing the other two lines that I caught bits and pieces of other poetry, but you did it in your own way and to your own, to the emotion of what you were talking about, the style. It's still colorful, but you managed to make it still sad and depressing. Thanks, Deb. I really appreciate it. Wow. CP, what'd you think?
Are you
or
muted?
Did my phone glitch?
Oh, no, I'm talking. I'm on mute. I like the metaphor of the dream, and she makes it kind of sad and depressing, but so eloquently done. It's very well done. That kind of lulls you into that, like the dream is going to be, you know, beautiful and colorful, and yet it has that underlying nightmare to it.
Thanks, sweet. Sam, what do you think of Deb's poem?
I think it's in the corner pocket. Deb has her own styling that's very classic Deb. It's a little niche of her own. Something about her poem, when you hear it, you know it's hers. How she writes it is very unique.
Uniquely Deb. She said she's a little debutante. Pretty Bird, what do you think?
I love how there's three of you tonight that were all about the dandelions, because I love how things like that happen. But down here, second verse from the bottom, as pictures flash inside my brain, mouth whispers calling you, but as the pieces hit the dirt, daydreams are not being true. And here's the thing, you know, when you are watching a slideshow of happy memories, when you're no longer in that happy place, is heartbreaking. And when it to mouth the words, to whisper the name, that the weight of the air just drives it into the dirt, that it's just, it's like everything is turned to dust. And it's, again, heartbreaking. So that just weighed a lot for me. And she's got these beautiful images with the ladybugs and the wind and the purple skies and the dandelions. But it's being stuck in that slideshow that it's not that you can't get out of. You don't want to. You want to stay in a place that was happier, but the disparity between the then and the now is paralyzing, and I just love how she wraps that in such loving things.
Great comment, Pretty Bird. AP, what'd you think?
Well, it's an interesting piece, Rack, because it's got lovely cadence and flow, and so when you read it, you sort of hit a certain timing, and it just sort of runs on down the page. And so that's what I was noticing about it as I was reading. But the Pretty Bird's absolutely right. The words, as everybody said, are very descriptive, but sort of powerful and painful as you get towards the end. And you know, it's a it's a very distinctly sort of Deb Wright, as people said, that. It just keeps on building and layering, but it does very subtly, and that's what Deb does very well.
Great comment. And I guess that brings the evening to a close. While I try and thank everybody that wrote and spent time and called and hung out and offered their voice, and in advance, thank everybody that's going to leave comments on the poetry that we heard tonight, if it touched you. Let's see. We had Dethro and Finn and Kimberly. And watch. I don't know how many people I'm going to end up missing. And thank you for calling and writing and hanging out, AP. And, of course, my two lady friends, both Sweet Pea and Pretty Bird, that manage the impossible and make me look good. Always a pleasure to hang out with you ladies and banter the night through. Who am I leaving out? Allie Sunshine. I left out Allie, of course. And who am I leaving out?
Phil?
Oh, my God, Phil. I'm sorry. Lordy. Okay, I'm going in the corner now.
And I think you mentioned
because,
Kim?
You know, yes, I mentioned. Well, I said Kimberly because I kept calling her Kim before, and I was butchering it by Kim. So I say Kimberly. Well, I wanted to make it a point to say, but, you know, I wasn't trying to be insulting before. It was just easier to say Kim, and, you know, Sin rhymed with Kim, so just kind of tripped off my tongue that way. But, yeah, Kimberly. Kimberly is her screen name, so if you're looking for her poetry, it's under Kimberly. And there was a number at the end, right?
Are you making me look stuff up? Give me a second. She is.
Oh, you're supposed to know the top of the like I'm the host. And I'm
Kimberly
the
Baker.
Oh, no number, just another name. Okay, then. I totally screwed up your name. I'm sorry, Kimberly.
Jethro.
Well, hopefully. I said Jethro first. Nine?
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
No. I may not have, because he was. That was the first and foremost thought in my head. It was because I was like, don't forget Jethro, because. Okay.
You did. I just didn't hear you.
No. I do that to you all the time. How many times do you thank someone and I told you to thank? So okay. That's your had a way of getting even with me. I got it. All righty.
I got it.
It's all good. Again, thank you to the whole Team of Voices board, which is almost completely represented here, or 50%, I guess. Hatter, hope you're doing well, and I hope everyone had a great week or weekend, and whoever you bet on the Super Bowl, if you bet on the Super Bowl, won, and check us out. We've got more shows coming up. Sweet, I think you've got one coming up in 2 days. And do you have anything coming up, AP?
I have my weekend show with Hatter. But apart from that, I am giving myself a bit of space at the minute, Raph, because I've just had a few bits on. But I'll leave it to Sweet to talk about her show.
All right.
We're doing a trip to the Land of Oz on Thursday night. We're going to talk about Dorothy and a time when Disney was all about females needing princesses to live. Wizard of Oz came out, and Dorothy was the savior of men. So she was a great female leader. So we're going to be doing poems to Wizard of Oz quotes and celebrating one of the very first female leads that didn't need a prince, but was saving men. So come and join me and celebrate a continuation of Oz. For Monday night, we're just going to keep going with that.
Awesome. I guess that, you didn't have anything more to add, AP, you said, right?
I just wanted to see and hope that Hatter is well, listening to give him a shout out, but apart from that, I'm good.
All righty. Pretty Bird, your show just passed, right? Under the Bus? I'm sorry. Get the Flock out of here.
Well, it's What the Flock, and it's not till March 1st, so we're good.
March. So your February one passed. Because
I have been
hiatus.
Taking it easy this February, yes.
Well, I give you a special thank you before we thank you for using Blog Talk Radio, because, you know, you did come out of hiding to help me out tonight again. And, you know, again, thank you for Team of Voices for the opportunity to sound like I know what I'm talking about sometimes. I guess that's subjective as well. Feel free to download and listen in later on. And I hope everyone had fun tonight. Thank you all for participating. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.